You're listening to the podcast version of Unnecessary Roughness from LVSportsNetwork.com, brought to you by Porta Subs.
The Raider fans are ridiculous. They've been like that for years, and the old Coliseum was amazing to be in. It was an amazing place. This is one of the most coveted franchises in professional sports because of that connection. So they need to be rewarded. We need to give it back, but they need to do their part too. They need to come out and roar at our opponents and not let them be able to think straight to give us that advantage. So we're all in this together, and I don't mind telling you that I'm recruiting them too.
This is Unnecessary Roughness on Raider Nation Radio, 920 AM. Here's your boy Q.
Pete knows. I like that. Pete knows. You come in with some good vibes right there from head coach Pete Carroll talking about Raider Nation and talking about the franchise. And, you know, the one thing about it, as much as we talk about the Raiders, the lack of success, obviously the history that the Raiders have had, you know, they're one of those franchises that it doesn't matter who you are. You can hate the team. You can love the team. Whatever the case may be, across the National Football League, the Raiders have a chapter, right? The Raiders are an organization that has a chapter that you just have to, at some stage of the game, respect. Again, you might not want to respect them, but you know who they are. And no matter who you played for, if you played in the league, you might not ever played for the Raiders, but you know about the Raiders. You know the silver and black. You know the patch. You know Just Win, baby. You know Al Davis. Like, you don't even have to be a deep diver when it comes to the National Football League, but you know damn well who the Raiders are, right? I mean, even before you became a sports fan, probably growing up, you probably had a Raiders shirt, a Raiders jacket, a Raiders hat. I mean, how many times do we see guys that play in the league currently, we'll see a picture of them as a youngster with a Tim Brown jersey on? Or we'll see them as a youngster with a Jim Plunkett jersey on? Or we'll see them with a Bo Jackson, you know, or everyone played Bo Jackson on Tecmo Bowl? Or everyone's talked about John Madden to a certain extent. Like, I had no idea this is how the show was going to start, but coming in hearing that sound from Pete Carroll talking about who the Raiders are and that they're a historic, you know, franchise, that just kind of gives you goosebumps. It kind of gives you chills, right? It reminds me of my time growing up in the Bay, where it was the left or the right. And what I mean by that is San Francisco or Oakland, right? And there was a line in the sand. You choose them or you choose us. Clearly, I chose us, right? And all my friends didn't do that. I'll be the first to tell you, all my friends didn't say, yeah, I'm a rock with them, but I did. And that's what always kind of separated everybody. And even going back to my high school reunion that we just had back in October, not too long ago, right? So many of my friends that I went to school with, you know, told the wife, man, your husband, he was always rocking with the silver and black. So to see that he's on Raider Nation Radio 920, to see that he has a podcast on the Raiders, to see that he talks on the radio about sports and the Raiders in general is not a surprise, because that's what he's always done. But that was always a sense of pride. That was always a sense of, you know, just a little extra something, something. Obviously, it goes into hip-hop as well, right? It goes into music, right? I mean, and even here locally, hell, we talk about the Killers, right? They're what? They're Raider fans, right? You talk about NWA if you want to go back to old-school hip-hop, right? I mean, we've had who on the show? Lil Eazy-E, right? I've had Bone Thugs reach out to me. Like, literally send me a message saying, hey, thanks for shouting us out on the first of the month. We're trying to come to training camp. Like, that's how historic this franchise is, the Raiders. That was a hell of a soundbite, Ari, to get us started, man. You know how to close out the week right. That's why you're on the wheels of steel. So big ups to my man, Ari, in the Lotus Broadcasting Studio, holding it down, who provided a little bit of juice to get this show started, this electric circus that we're going to have coming up on this Friday as we head into the weekend, the last day of the month. So there you go. Shout out to Bone Thugs and Harmony, as we'll be shouting out the Hood Holiday coming up on tomorrow. But with that being said, Pete Carroll's absolutely right, because it's great to be a historical franchise, but now you've got to be a current franchise. And what I mean by that is a currently strong, dominant, really good one that your fan base is proud of, right? So he hit it on the head, and it's something that Raider Nation's been calling in, texting in, tweeting in, writing about on blogs, right? I mean, just everything has been doing for a very long time, saying, yeah, but what about us? When do we get rewarded? So for the fact that Pete Carroll at least recognizes that off top, obviously he's very familiar with the Raiders going back to the Bay Area when he was a youngster, as he's talked about in his press conference on Monday. At least for him to recognize that off top is a step in the right direction. Now, it's nothing if it's just words. Anyone could talk about it, but you got to be about it, right? Isn't that what we say? talk about it, but be about it. Anyone could do that, but you've got to, like I said, you've got to have the action to back it up. So I want to see the action. I love the fact that he said, hey, I'm recruiting Raider Nation as well. That's a sign, as far as I'm concerned, a sign of respect to Raider Nation, the ones that tune into this fine program we call Unnecessary Roughness on Raider Nation Radio 920 each and every day. If you like it or don't like it, it doesn't matter. You still tune in, and that's what we definitely appreciate. So with that being said, coming up on the show today, Vinny Bonsignor, who's been Johnny on the spot, the Senior Bowl, Mobile, Alabama, all week long, has done a fantastic job double-dipping, sometimes triple-dipping. He's been on the morning tailgate each and every day. He's joined in on this show each and every day. He's been doing yeoman's work, just out there getting his scouting on, seeing what he can see when it comes to the Senior Bowl. So we'll close things out really strong with Vinny Bonsignor coming up at 2:30. He'll give us a laundry list of guys to be paying attention to in the Senior Bowl when the game comes up on tomorrow. Of course, the Shrine Bowl was last night. I got a chance to catch up with some of that on NFL Network last night. And, it's good to see those guys get out there and put their skills to the test and give another opportunity to showcase their talent. So Vinny Bonsignor will join us coming up at 2:30. 3 o'clock, the voice of the Silver and Black, Jason Horowitz, good friend of the show, Raiders play-by-play. He'll join the show. We talked to him, I want to say like a week, maybe a week and a half ago or so, kind of wrapped up the season. This is while the coaching search was still going on. So now that it's official, now that Pete Carroll's in his place, now that John Spytek is in his place, what does Jason think of the move? The hires, how does he think that the Raiders kind of move forward with these guys, and how do they get this team back to being a team that Raider Nation is proud of? Because that's, at the end of the day, what's most important. And obviously, winning is what Raider Nation will be proud of. When the team gets back to winning consistently, being a dominant team, when other fan bases look at the Raiders and see them on the schedule, they don't just pencil in a dub, right? You know how we go through the schedule all the time? No matter what it is, and they're playing the Panthers. Oh, that's a dub. Oh, they're playing the Browns. Oh, that's a dub. Oh, they're playing this team. That's right. We could do that all the time. Well, guess what? Other fan bases see the Raiders on the schedule. You know what they say? Oh, that's a dub. That's a dub. They don't take the Raiders seriously. So that's Pete Carroll, John Spytek, Patrick Graham and company. That's their job to get that turned around. So that's not a dub on the schedule. And if it is a dub, it is for the Raiders and not for the opponent. So Jason Horowitz will join us to give his thoughts and everything moving forward with the Silver and Black. That comes up at 3 o'clock. 3:30, good friend of the show, been a contributor all season long. He's been fantastic. He's going to be helping us out next week when we're in New Orleans at the Super Bowl, Radio Row for Super Bowl 59. That's Ryan Hoag, former Raiders wide receiver. Nothing is irrelevant. He was drafted Mr. Irrelevant back in 2003, and if you've been listening to this show at all throughout the course of the season, you know that his segment is always fantastic. Well, he's going to join us again as, like I said, we head into this weekend the right way. He'll join us at 3:30, talk about the hire, talk about the moves, talk about what he'd like to see this team moving forward, what they will do, and even what a successful Pete Carroll run with the Silver and Black will look like. So Ryan Hoag will join us coming up at 3:30. Yogi Roth from the Big Ten Network, he's actually going to join us at 4 o'clock. Why is Yogi Roth going to join us at 4 o'clock? Well, when we found out on yesterday that John Glenn was going to be the Raiders linebackers coach, Yogi tweeted this out, nice quote, "John Glenn to the Raiders is a phenomenal hire. Knows Pete Carroll's system and was impactful this past season with the Commanders during their run. Having known John since I was 5 years old, and he has taken a long path in coaching, earning everything along the way, a rising star in the NFL." So that was from Yogi Roth on yesterday when he found out about John Glenn being hired as the linebackers coach for the Silver and Black. So I want to deep dive into that. I want to get to know John Glenn a little bit more. Now, I know that when he was in Seattle and he was there for a very long time, they were very successful. They also had guys like Bobby Wagner, KJ Wright, Michael Kendricks, Jordan Brooks, Cody Barton, just to name a few. So those are studs. I was talking on the podcast for today, and I was talking about Michael Kendricks. Remember Michael Kendricks? Remember the former Cal Bear? Michael Kendricks was just a super stud, super athletic. I mean, just everything that he just did it at a whole higher level. That whole Kendricks family, as a matter of fact, just fantastic football players. But, man, Michael Kendricks was one of those guys. I remember how good he was, not only with the Seahawks, but also played with the Eagles as well. Just, again, a phenomenal linebacker. But, yeah, John Glenn had some really good, talented dudes. Bobby Wagner, KJ Wright, obviously spent some time with the Raiders as well. Jordan Brooks coming from Texas Tech, stud linebacker. They all were very successful under John Glenn. So Yogi Roth will join us at 4 o'clock, and we'll talk about Glenn and what that addition means to the team. And then at 4:30, as we close things out, last but not least, to say the least, Donald Penn, DP, former Raiders offensive lineman. Mary, we talked about him, I want to say on yesterday, maybe the day before, we said that, you know, we want to see the Raiders get that dominant offensive line back. And I referenced that 2016 offensive line, how stinking good they were. Man, they were so good. That season, I mean, I don't want to rehash that and bring up old stuff, but, man, that was a phenomenal season for the Raiders, one that many of us referenced for many years. Like, oh, remember when the Raiders, you know, had that run in 2016? We all know how it came to a close with DC breaking his ankle there at the Coliseum on the, you know, against the Colts, Christmas Eve. So, yeah, but that offensive line, Donald Penn, Kelechi Osemele, Rodney Hudson, Gabe Jackson, Austin Howard. I was like, well, how did all of a sudden that just like escape my mind? I've been talking about it for the last 2 days. But yeah, that was the five, man. That offensive line was super solid. So I just want to get Donald Penn's thoughts on, you know, how an offensive line comes together like that. What does it take? When do you know that offensive line is going to be super solid, and what is it going to take for the Raiders to get that O-line back in place? So as you could tell, we call it the Electric Circus for a reason. We laugh, we have a lot of jokes and when we talk about it, but man, buckle up, right? We're going to go fast and furious with you on today's show. Vinny Bonsignore at 2:30, Jason Horowitz at 3, Ryan Hogue will join us at 3:30, Yogi Roth at 4, close things out with Donald Penn, former Raiders offensive lineman, at 4:30. Of course, we'll hear from you in the meantime, in between time as well, at 702-365-9200. Let's go ahead and jump into the opening drive.
The opening drive of Unnecessary Roughness on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM is brought to you by Paul Pata Law. It's not about the injury, it's about the recovery.
Before we really jump into the opening drive, I do want to go ahead and hit the text line, as Raider Jamil from San Ramon has already hit us up at 702-365-9200. Thank you, Raider Jamil from San Ramon. Thanks for another great week, and it's dope that you always bleed silver and black. Your passion for entertaining all of Raider Nation is awesome. One question: will Pete seriously consider other OCs? I hope he does, since Bevel gets me nervous a little. That is from Raider Jamil in San Ramon, and that's a good question, right? We're seeing all these guys added defensively for the Raiders, but we're not seeing any more interview requests or interviews happening offensively. I'm sure that they're working on it. I'm sure that it's not going to only be Daryl Bevel. I know he had a lot of success under Daryl Bevel, so that's one thing. I've heard a lot of people talk highly about Daryl Bevel as an OC. I know that things at one point soured with him as the offensive coordinator as well. So, yeah, that's the area that of course is going to be of concern until it isn't. And we just have to wait and see how everything plays out. But, you know, the one thing that Pete Carroll said, and we've repeated it basically all week ever since he said it on Monday, as he put the staff together, he wants guys that he's worked with, he wants guys that he hasn't worked with, and he wants guys on the current coaching staff, really talented guys, and that for sure he's been doing. So we know that John Glenn is going to be the linebackers coach. We know Patrick Graham officially is going to be the defensive coordinator. The Raiders actually made that official today. They put out a release on him. Robbie Leonard's coming back as a defensive line coach. I've seen that Ricky Manning is coming back as well, DB coach to some capacity. So we'll continue to wait to see how that all plays out. So that is something that, you know, is exciting, because, again, I think that the defense is probably way ahead of the offense at this stage of the game anyway. The offense is what's going to have to get, I don't want to say a complete overhaul, but it's going to have a lot of attention put to it. So we'll see, Raider Jamil. I mean, to answer your question, there's definitely going to be different offensive coordinators that he's going to talk to and interview. I don't know what direction he's going to go. I also wanted to pass this along. Albert Breer tweeted it out earlier this morning. Seahawks Vice President of Coaching Operations, Matt Capurro, I believe is how you say it, is leaving the team after 15 years to reunite with Pete Carroll and rejoin the Raiders. Was with Carroll at USC in 2009 and Seattle from 10 to 23 and worked for Al Davis in Oakland from 04 to 08. Valuable right-hand man to head coach. That comes out from Albert Breer, so you know that's not a fluff piece. That's not just something that he's pulling out his backside and throwing up against the wall. I'm excited to see what exactly his role is, what he does. I actually reached out to a couple people that cover the Seahawks in Seattle to try to get their thoughts, and for the most part, it wasn't a whole lot of, you know, like they just were super familiar. Like the answer I got, honestly, I don't know much about him, so sorry I can't be more help. Ask my co-host, and he doesn't know a whole lot either. So, again, I can appreciate the honesty, because anyone could have said anyone, just been like, oh, he's great, you're going to love him, he's fantastic. All right, what does he do? I don't know. Right? So we're going to still continue to do some research. A guy like Raider 66 probably has probably more knowledge than I do on the situation because, again, he was with the Raiders and worked for Al Davis in Oakland from 04 to 08. And, again, as Albert Breer pointed out, a valuable right-hand man to the head coach. And, yeah, that could only be a good thing as far as I'm concerned. You see how long that he was in Seattle and he decided he's going to step away from the Seahawks to join the Raiders. So, to me, that's a big deal in itself. But with that being said, getting into the opening drive, I want to talk about, as I teased when I talked about Ryan Hoke joining the show at 3:30, want to tease, you know, talk about a successful run for Pete Carroll, however long that's going to be, right? We talked about the hires on yesterday. What kind of grade would you give them, you know, all in all? And, you know, we've had those conversations. I was on Sin City Beat on Fox 5. We were having those kind of conversations. But really want to get down into the, you know, what does a successful run for Pete Carroll look like? And the reason why this came to mind is because of what I heard this morning on ESPN Radio and on Sportsman, like Chris Canty was talking about Pete Carroll.
I'm not going to doubt Pete Carroll. He's a proven program builder. This guy resets the culture every single place that he goes, and you have a hard time identifying a spot where he coached where they weren't better off for him being in the building. The Las Vegas Raiders will be better off. Now, Pete Carroll is not the guy to win you a championship. He's the guy before the guy, but he's going to build a solid foundation for this football team. So, yeah, I think the Raiders made the best possible move. Once they missed out on the Ben Johnson sweepstakes, I thought Tom Brady and company did a great job of pivoting to a proven commodity. And in that division, you need a head coach that knows what the hell he's doing.
So that's Chris Canty, former NFL player. He likes to call himself the resident Super Bowl champion there on ESPN Radio, and he's talking about the hire of Pete Carroll. And you heard what he said, and I heard Vinny Bonsignore respond to it earlier today saying, well, I pushed back a little bit when he said that he's not the guy that's going to win you a championship because he's won. But I think that, and sometimes it takes a little bit of context, I think what CC was trying to say was the fact that he has a three-year deal. He's got a three-year deal with a fourth year for the team option. So what does success look like for Pete Carroll? What are your expectations for Pete Carroll as the head coach of the Silver and Black? And even before he got hired, I said that this team was a little bit away. One, because his division is a hell of a division. It's not like he's walking into, you know, the NFC South, right, where Tampa Bay's at or the Saints are at or Carolina. You know, he's not walking into that. He's walking into the AFC West. You got Andy Reid and the Chiefs who are playing in Super Bowl 59. They're trying to go for the trifecta. Obviously, the Chargers have gotten better under Jim Harbaugh in year one. And, well, Denver was in the playoffs this year as well. And that's where I'm at. And, of course, I'd love to hear from you. And I see you, ABA. Ivan Davis will go to you in a hot minute, 702-365-9200. I'm looking at that Denver model right there. And let me explain what I mean by that. The first year under Sean Payton, it wasn't fantastic. But he did a lot of weeding through the tall weeds, right? The tall grass. He figured out what fit, what didn't fit. He started to get everything turned around as far as contract situations and what he thought was out of whack contracts and got that all put together. Well, the Raiders have an advantage because they already have that part worked out. I think the Raiders and their contracts that have been written, I think Tom Delaney has done a fantastic job for years. I think that ever since big Reggie McKenzie got their contract situations under control, because remember when Reggie McKenzie took over, they were out of whack. He got everything under control, and I feel like they've really been solid ever since. So the Raiders go into this offseason with a whole lot of salary cap space, which I think is a step in the right direction. So you could probably get things turned around even a little bit quicker and a little smoother than what Denver did. I mean, hell, they gave Russell Wilson $90 million to go away. They took that one on the chin, was like, yeah, peace. Peace out, dog. You know, and so, I mean, they moved on from him, gave him all that money, and they just took it on the chin, but they were still able to get things turned around. I think you see a nice step in the right direction in 2025, especially if they have a solid draft like I expect them to have, get a couple pieces that they need, and I'm looking at a push for that playoff berth in 2026. That's me. That's just me. I'm not saying that it can't happen quicker, but that's just my expectations. I like to try to be and live in a realistic world. I'm not trying to blow smoke up your backside. I'm not trying to give you false hope. Right, and we all know that if anyone feels like they're going to get false hope, Raider Nation's going to let you know about it. We know that. We know that. It'll be on the text line, phone line, Twitter, everything. Right? Get double fingers in the air like you're Pac. Right? We understand that. Right? I woke up and screamed. Well, you got the rest, right? I mean, you know what it is. So we ain't trying to do all that. I'm trying to live in a realistic world with you and just get your thoughts, knowing what Pete Carroll, who I like to call Bob the Builder, who he is, knowing what division the Raiders are in. You know the roster as well as I know the roster. You know how much draft capital they have this year, and you know how much salary cap space they have this year. Great foundational points to start on with John Spytek and Pete Carroll. You heard Chris Canty say he's not the guy to win you a championship. And again, I'm looking at that as, yeah, because he's got a three-year deal and fourth-year team option. So by the time it's all said and done, I mean, who knows what this division is going to look like? But I definitely believe that they'll be competing for at least a playoff berth, getting close to the playoffs, if not in the playoffs, by 2026. But I'd love to hear from you at 702-365-9200. Give me your thoughts. What does a successful Pete Carroll era look like to you? What are your realistic expectations at 702-365-9200? Let's go out to the phone lines. Let's talk to our guy, ABA Ivan Davis. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, what's up, Q? Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
I'm on board with you as far as the turnaround for the Raiders. I think you could definitely be in the playoffs by next year, and I'll tell you why. Well, look at what Antonio Pierce was able to do. Those guys, the first key is going to be the buy-in from the players, because if they don't buy in, I don't care who you have out there at coach. It's not going to work. So if they buy in to Pete Carroll, and it sounds like they are – they should buy in, then that turnaround can happen faster than you think. We were in every single game, except for maybe one or two I can think of. And so we're not as far as you think. We're far away, but not as far as you think. A few free agents here, a few draft picks there, it's still not going to happen next year, but it can definitely happen in 2026. We just got to close that gap. The gap is not as big as people are making it out to be.
Anyway, I like it.
Thank you, Q. Go Raiders.
There he goes. ABA Ivan Davis. Great stuff, man. Close the gap. The gap is not as far and as wide as a lot of people make it sound like it really is. And you're absolutely right about being in a lot of games. It's funny. I mean, when you win four games, you can't, you know, it's hard to say, man, they were a good team. They were really close. But the truth of the matter is, and, you know, we'll talk to Jason Horowitz, who was on the call for every single game in 2024. Like, the truth of the matter is, they're probably a lot closer in these games than people expect. Hell, I want to say that it's been like that the last couple seasons. They've had a lot of games that have been really close. And I know close doesn't matter, except for hand grenades and horseshoes. And we're not doing either, right? I get it. But I like what you had to say, ABA Ivan Davis. Really good stuff, right? He says close the gap, and it's not as wide. It's not as far apart as a lot of people believe. Let's go back out to the phone lines, talk to our guy, our brother. Haven't heard from him in a minute. Juan the Smasher, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
What's up, Q? What's going on?
Man, I'm chilling, man. I'm wondering where you at, man. Where you been hanging out, homeboy?
Man, I've just been trying to get it. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to stay busy.
I heard that. Go on, get it, man. Go on, get it.
Yes, sir. Hey, Q. I just want to say I'm excited about the next. I don't know how these fools always do this every year. I get disappointed, and then they get me excited again. I'm riding with Pete Carroll, and I'm glad he brought Patrick Graham. So I just hope he keeps a couple more of those players, Morig, and then the linebacker Spillane. I hope those two fools stay, and I'm excited for next year. And the Super Bowl, I'm only watching the Kendrick halftime show. After that, I'm going to turn that TV off, Q, because I can't stand these fools. I hate the damn Chiefs with a passion, Q. If anything in life I hate, it's paying child support and watching these goddamn Chiefs lose. Thank you for everything you do, Q. Raiders!
Oh, that's great. That was fantastic right there. Juan the Smasher got a little freaky on a Friday, but that's okay. That's all good. That's good stuff right there. My man said, well, you heard what he said. My man said, turn the TV off. All I can think of is Kendrick. Turn the TV off. Turn the TV off. Right? Good stuff. So I like how he played that up. He said, I'm only going to watch the Kendrick show, and I'm going to turn the TV off. So he must have had Kendrick on his mind while he was giving us that call. You could always cheer for the Eagles. I mean, that's a thought. Right? I mean, Jalen Hurts is a hell of a player. I know that's where my rooting interest is at. I'm team Jalen Hurts all day. I'm team Eagles all day. I want to see Saquon Barkley run for about $150. Tell everybody how important running backs are. Let Jalen Hurts go on and get that dub. And it's funny, man, and our guy Raider Dave in Denver called in yesterday and said it. When Jalen Hurts was coming out of school, I don't think any of us, and I include me because I did not believe this, I did not think this, that he would be in two Super Bowls in 3 years. That's pretty wild that he'll be in two Super Bowls in 3 years with an opportunity to knock off the Kansas City Chiefs and stop them from the three-peat. And I really do believe, I know I want them to win because I don't want to see the three-peat, but I really do believe that they have an opportunity to get the win and knock the Chiefs off and send them back home to KC without that Lombardi. If there's a team that could do it, I believe the Philadelphia Eagles could definitely get it done. They have a really good defense, a super solid run game, and Jalen Hurts, I do believe, especially since the Chiefs play a lot of man-to-man coverage, that Jalen Hurts is going to have an opportunity to use his arm to be successful as well. Juan, thanks so much for the call. It's always great to hear from you, my man. 702-365-9200. Messy Jesse said, success would be a winning season. You're not wrong about that at all, but what's next after that, right? I mean, I expect the Raiders, my expectations are for the Raiders to have a winning season, you know, at least, like I said, at least in 2026, be fighting and scratching and clawing for a playoff spot. But is that it? Is that the ultimate? I don't want to say ultimate goal. We all know the ultimate goal is winning the Super Bowl. But is that what your expectations are from Pete Carroll as long as he's the head coach of the Silver and Black? He's a guy that I expect, and I've told anybody this, I expect him to coach out his contract. I don't expect him to be replaced anytime soon. So I don't expect that all of a sudden next offseason we're going to be talking about another coaching search. That's the least thing in my mind. I think that this is going to be a nice run for Pete, and I would not be surprised if the Raiders pick up that fourth-year team option if he so chooses that he wants to continue to be coaching. But at the same time, you want to continue to see progress. So that's why I throw it out there about the realistic expectations at 702-365-9200. Let's see. We got Richard in the 408 said, Q, tell DP, talking about Donald Penn, to hit up Mike Tice to recruit him to Las Vegas. There you go. I'm not mad at that. And KP said, only known offensive coordinator interview has been Daryl Bevel. Haven't seen any other reports for any other candidates. You're right about that. We haven't seen any other ones. I'm sure that we will. It's not a case where you can only interview one guy and then it's game, set, match. I mean, you have to go through the interview process. So I know that there's other guys that they're going to be talking to. But the Raiders do a really good job of keeping everything really tight-lipped when it comes to these interviews. And that's why everything that we find out, it's not like they tweet out, just finish interviewing so-and-so for the offensive coordinator position. They don't do that like other organizations do. We find out because, well, the national guys get wind of it, and then it's out there, and then that's how we end up talking about it. But really good. Definitely appreciate that. So 702-365-9200. One more quick text. This one comes from Raider J in Monterey. Says, I heard that Juan the Smasher screw the Super Bowl. I'll be out smashing on some wood, chopping on some garden work. I got zero time for them Chiefs, and I don't believe in the Eagles. I'm out. That's our guy, Raider J, in Monterey. Vinny Bonsignor, he'll join us next. Let us know your thoughts. What's the successful Pete Carroll era look like to you? What are your realistic expectations? It's Raider Nation Radio 920.
That was the opening drive of Unnecessary Roughness on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM. Brought to you by Paul Padilla. It's not about the injury. It's about the recovery.
This podcast version of Unnecessary Roughness on LVSportsNetwork.com is brought to you by PortaSubs. Make sure you check out PortaSubs' 6-foot party trays. They're perfect for game days. You'll get your choice of 3 made-to-order classic subs made with premium meats and cheese on your choice of fresh baked bread, loaded with fresh veggies, toppings, and sauces. Game day 6-foot trays serve 12 to 16 people, so you can sit back and enjoy the game. Available at all Las Vegas area PortaSubs, neighborhood sandwich shops, order ahead at PortaSubs.com.
Did not show up in the stat books very much. Didn't get a ton of sacks. Didn't get a ton of tackles. And my goodness, was the best player single-handedly on that Ole Miss defense. Well, you know, talk about can't teach something. That first step, that first contact with that offensive lineman is as fast and as quick as anything I've ever seen. I mean, he is really good, and he's going to be a prototypical defensive tackle in the league.
Let's check in with Vinny Bonsignor for the latest on the Senior Bowl, sponsored by Dos Caras Tequila and LendingStore.com on Unnecessary Roughness.
Brad Logan, who joined the show on yesterday, talking all things Ole Miss. He's from Inside the Rebel, was talking about defensive tackle Walter Nolan right there. And I know Vinny Bonsignor has been high on Walter Nolan and a few other Ole Miss cats that are out there at the Senior Bowl in Mobile, Alabama. Vinny joins us now on the phone lines. And I know you've mentioned Walter Nolan. You got a chance to talk to Walter Nolan. He's a guy that's making a big name for himself. He was already before he arrived there. But what have you seen from him in particular that stood out to you?
Yeah, the quickness and the speed off the ball is definitely apparent. I like the toughness, too. He got banged up a few times. Here took some shots to the ribs and was, you know, there were some times where you're wondering, okay, would totally understand if he bailed at this point, had to walk off the field a couple of times. But was always back. I was surprised yesterday when I saw him back out there. I was like, wow, that says a lot. Because there's some guys that, you know what, they've already solidified themselves as first round picks, and there's no real need to get out there and put themselves in harm's way. But he kept coming back, and he told me that he wanted to, you know, crack the top 15, and that was his goal coming in to the Senior Bowl here in Mobile, Alabama. I think he's one of the 15 best players in the country, but yes, for sure. The toughness, the speed, the strength, the pass rush ability. He's also a good run stopper, so he's the full package.
Was there a certain particular position group that stood out to you, like they may have been more dominant than another position group since you've been out there for the week?
I did feel like the defensive line, whether you're talking about the interior and also the pass rushers, I felt that was probably the most loaded group, and that's really not taking anything away from anyone because they had their hands full, and vice versa with the offensive line. There were some really good offensive line here as well. But when you talk about Joshua Farmer from Florida State, Walter Nolan, TJ Sanders from South Carolina, Deion Walker from Kentucky, those are the interior guys we were talking about. Mike Green, Donovan Izuruku from Boston College, Mike Green's from Marshall, Ja Joyner from Minnesota, Shamar Stewart from Texas A&M, Olu Aladejo, and I probably mispronounced his name. I'll get that one right at some point from UCLA.
Yeah.
Ty Robinson from Nebraska, the edge rushers. So it was a really good collection of edge guys and interior guys. And look, you know, the Raiders have the sixth pick overall. Not sure where they're going to go with that. Abdul Carter could be there. Mason Graham could be the interior defensive lineman from Michigan. But even if they punt on either edge or interior with the number six pick to fill another need, there's going to be a lot of guys at both spots throughout this draft, and I think they'd be in good shape. And I have a feeling that's an area that the Raiders are really going to key in on.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And Vinny Bonsignore is with us here on Raider Nation Radio 920 Unnecessary Roughness. I say there's no doubt because we know how many free agents that they have, and we know that some are on the defensive line, including Adam Butler and John Jenkins, and we know Christian Wilkins is going to be coming back. I talked about on yesterday, Vinny, that I thought that there was definitely some defensive tackles, like some depth that the Raiders should be looking for, some younger dudes on that defensive line, especially in that defensive tackle position. They very well could find a guy that's there in Mobile right now, maybe not in the first round, but a little bit later on, that could provide that depth.
Yeah, without question. And if you look at the draft history of a John Spytek in Tampa Bay and Pete Carroll up in Seattle, it's a position that they tap into throughout the draft. So to your point, doesn't always have to be in the first round. Although if there's an impact player, I don't think they would hesitate to pull the trigger as high as possible at either edge or interior. But certainly throughout the draft as well. And this is just based on what we saw here in Mobile, Alabama, it really does feel like a really good solid defensive line draft. And again, we didn't even see a couple of the other guys that there's a couple of Georgia kids that are juniors that weren't here that are supposed to be, top 10 picks as well. So it really is from top to bottom a decent to really good defensive lineman draft.
You know, I wanted to ask you about the running backs. One, because this is a really deep running back draft, right? Everything I've heard, everything I've seen, it's a really deep draft. And we know that the Raiders are going to want to run the rock. We know Pete Carroll. We know what they wanted to do last year, and they weren't able to do it successfully. But they're going to want to run the rock. One guy that I've talked about, I don't know, for months now, is Devin Neal from Kansas. I know he's out there. One of the things that he needed to showcase really was his hands, if he's able to catch the ball really well out of the backfield. Have you had a chance to catch up and see what Devin Neal has been able to do out there?
Yeah, and I'm a big fan. I saw him first up close and personal early in the year when UNLV was up at, played Kansas, was at that game. And I still don't understand why they didn't keep feeding him because he was kind of having his way, especially early on against UNLV. Just a really good, I think, a three-down back. Runs with great balance and vision. He's fast. He's got breakaway speed. He's tough. He's got an uncanny ability with the footwork to make people miss. So, and he definitely looked the part here in Mobile, along with Ollie Gordon. He was just named the national team, running back of the week. So I really liked Brachel Tootin from Virginia Tech. He had some really good moments yesterday in the red zone, showed some great vision and some great cutback in and out of the hole, hitting a couple of home runs. Woody Marks from USC looked really good here in Mobile. And the Georgia running back, Trevor Edidine, he was also the American running back of the week. So keep an eye on him, the Georgia running back. He had some injuries, and I don't think he was quite the same toward the end of the year. He just wasn't the same guy. But it looks to me like he's gotten through all of that, and he's back to being the regular Trevor.
Yeah, no, that's Travis's brother, Travis Etienne, yeah, who plays for the Jaguars. That's his brother. And he had a concussion at the end of the year for Georgia. So he worked his way back. He also, I think he got a DUI, like alleged DUI. But he's a hell of a back. He really is. He's very talented. And again, Vinny, my biggest point is it's a very deep draft. Like, everyone talks about, like, Cam Scataboo, obviously Ashton Gentry for good reason. But this draft is deep in running backs. And knowing Pete Carroll like you know Pete Carroll, would you be surprised if the Raiders came away with this draft and this draft process with two or three backs?
I don't know about – I think two for sure. You know, maybe not three, but I also think free agency is a place where they
can
go, mm-hmm, you know, in terms of that position. Pete typically likes to he likes to rely on one guy primarily, so that's something to keep an eye on as well. But this draft is so good that you might, and I think the Raiders are going to need multiple backs in this draft because, mm-hmm, you know, I'm not quite sure what the future lies for Zamir White, and then there's free agents the rest of the way throughout that room. So it might be time to really replenish that with a couple of young backs through that draft.
Yeah, no, it really will. And that's kind of what I meant, like the draft and then also, you know, free agency, undrafted free agent guys. I just think that they're going to bring, especially with the competition that Pete's looking for, I think that they're going to bring a handful of dudes in, especially at that position, because they've got to retool and revamp that running back room. They've got to be able to get back to, you know, to running the rock and all that good stuff like Pete Carroll is going to want to do. Well, I know the game is coming up tomorrow. Is there anyone that we should be watching for in the game, or you're going to be particularly want to see what it looks like in the game coming up tomorrow?
Yeah, I can't wait to see Jaden Higgins and Jalen Noel from Iowa State, the two wide receivers that have really played very well here in Mobile. I want to see, obviously, Jalen Milroe. We've been talking about him all week. I thought he progressed as the week went on.
Have you got a chance to talk to him yet? Have you talked to Milroe yet?
Yeah, we did. And, I think he's got he, to me, he's a great kid, and he's got the correct perspective. He knows that there's some stuff that he needs to work on. Somebody mentioned the name Lamar Jackson to him earlier in the week, and he's like, hey, you know, that's an honor. And, you know, let's go back to that draft with Lamar Jackson. And there were a lot of questions about Lamar Jackson. He wasn't considered a surefire NFL quarterback. Let's be honest about that. It's why he lasted to where he lasted. And I want to say the Baltimore Ravens traded up into the first round to get him. And then he sat for, you know, a good part of his rookie year, and it all worked out. We mentioned Jalen Hurts, who I think has a kind of a similar story to what Jalen Milroe experience there at Alabama, the highs and lows, the ups and downs, the question marks, and Hurts didn't look great in the Senior Bowl that he was at, but there was enough there to work with. And, you know, I mentioned this on Twitter either yesterday or today that, you know, complimenting Jalen Milroe for really showing a lot of progress this week. Mm-hmm. And there was just a lot of pushback from you know, fans about it. And it's unfortunate to me that people just want to write off 21-year-old kids, 22-year-old kids, without kind of understanding, like there's things that the NFL sees in him that needs to be ironed out and worked on, but they also see an elite set of skills that a lot of people in the NFL feel like, look, get him into our program with our coaches and our philosophy and our discipline and our, you know, patience, and we're going to get him there. And that's what coaches do. They're teachers, and they believe in what, you know, they can bring to the table. And when they look at Jalen Milroe, yes, there's work. He's got to take a little bit off the fastball all the time when he's throwing short and intermediate, but that's coachable stuff. The people that I've talked to feel like his flaws can be fixed. His issues, if you want to call them, are correctable. And if you can correct them, just like it was corrected with Jalen Hurts, just like it was with Lamar Jackson, heck, just like it was with Josh Allen. Josh Allen completed under 60% of his passes. Just think about that for a second, Q. Mm-hmm. Under 60% of his passes when he was at Wyoming. There were people who believed or who felt like this guy's never going to translate to the NFL. Well, now we're talking about a perennial MVP candidate, along with Lamar Jackson, who a lot of people didn't feel was going to translate to quarterback. So just slow the roll sometimes and have some patience and understand that these are still unfinished products, every single one of them, and he's got skills to work with.
I like it. I really do. And, again, watched a lot of him at Alabama, and, you know, you said take a little heat off the fastball. It's what it is, man. It's the intermediate passes. It's the short passes. Everything else is great. The deep ball, fantastic. The two things that bother me about Milroe's game right now is the intermediate to short passes, and if he turns the ball over, he normally turns the ball over a couple times, so he's got to be able to clear it and not think about that, right? It starts the snowball effect. So I'll definitely be paying attention to Milroe. I thought he should go back to school one more year, but – well, we'll see what it is, and obviously he's not a guy, Vinny, that you would think if any team drafts him, obviously he'll get drafted, but whatever team drafts him, they're not going to start him right away.
Yeah, and I don't know that there's a whole lot of quarterbacks in this draft that really do profile as surefire day one players. Everyone from Shador to Cam Ward all have some things I think the NFL believes in, but also believe that their time might be better suited early on, kind of sitting and watching it and developing. And certainly that's also the case for Jalen Milroe. It's probably going to be the case for Jackson Dart, who I think is kind of creeping up into that first round consideration. I see a lot of people talking about him, in that first round. And that's going to create a little bit of a quandary for the Raiders because, you know, sitting at number six, they're probably going to be out of reach unless they trade up for a Cam Ward or a Shador Sanders. But there was, I think, a belief going into this week, maybe not from them. I'm sure they see it the way they see it. But there was a belief, you know, within league circles that they'd still be in a really good position to draft a Jackson Dart if they liked him in the second round. Now I'm not so sure that they're not going to have to trade up into the first round to get to a Jackson Dart. And I'll say this. As the draft process gets underway and keeps moving forward, I wouldn't be shocked if somebody fell in love with a Jalen Milroe in the first round. Yeah. A team like Baltimore a few years ago that had their veteran quarterback and said, "Hey, we don't need him right now, mm-hmm. but there's too much there that we like that we're willing to put some time into him and draft him right now and still wait." Jordan Love, you know, with the Green Bay Packers was also like that. So. I'm not ruling anything out at this point, and you got to start to wonder if you're the Raiders and you do fall in love with one of these quarterbacks, at what point do you feel like you got to get in there and take them rather than just wait?
Yeah, no, that's a problem that they could have, right? I mean, Jackson Dart, obviously you wouldn't take him at six, but when would you take him if he's going to be selected, if he's a guy that you got your eyes on? I mean, that they could fall in that in-between area again, right? That gray area. Yeah. They could end up falling into it again, so that's a problem that they've got to figure out one way or the other. But really good stuff, Vinny. Great stuff all week long, as a matter of fact. What are you working on that we should be on the lookout for?
Yeah, I just put together three observations, you know, from the Raiders' perspective of the Senior Bowl, and including, talking about those two quarterbacks and where they may fall in the draft or where they may push themselves in the draft and how the Raiders would handle that. So be on the lookout for that over at Vegas Nation.
There you go, man. Great stuff as always. Appreciate you so much, man. Like I said, it was a fantastic week. Have safe travels, and we'll talk to you next week.
And likewise to you in New Orleans, brother.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We'll have a blast. Vinny Bonsignore, great stuff right there from the Las Vegas Review-Journal, VegasNation.com. You can find all his work. And, of course, the Morning Tailgate, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. with Clay Baker and Vin Sapienza right here on Raider Nation Radio 920. Great stuff from Vinny all week at the Senior Bowl. And, of course, you can see that game coming up on tomorrow. 2:47 is the time. We'll take your calls and texts. We close out the show, the hour one of the show, I should say. It's Raider Nation Radio 920.
Who I am as a person. I'm infinitely curious. I'm open-minded. And I think if people just slow down sometimes and listen to the people around them, it's amazing how much you can learn. I tell my wife all the time, you know, the nature of a scout is to always be watching and observing. So I'm always watching and observing. I just watched my young son here tie his shoes for the last 10 minutes, but they're both tied now, so they look good. Good job, Tommy.
You're listening to Unnecessary Roughness with your boy Q on Raider Nation Radio, 920 AM.
Watching and listening, observing. That's what GM John Spytek does. He also sent a message to his son by telling him, I've been watching you for the 10 minutes. Tie your shoes. Yeah, they're good. Now sit still. That was basically the underlining message that he sent without saying it. Sometimes, you know, you can say something without saying it. He said something without saying it. Like, all right, dog, it's cool. Your shoes are tied. Good. Good job. They look great. Now sit up there and pay attention, right? So the attention to detail right there, that's what we're all going to be focusing on when it comes to GM John Spytek as he's putting this thing together for the Silver and Black. We've got Jason Horowitz, the voice of the Raiders, coming up at 3 o'clock at the top of the hour. We'd love to hear from you. 702-365-9200. What's a successful Pete Carroll run look like to you? What are the realistic expectations? This is based off of Chris Canty from ESPN's Sportsmanlike, the morning show, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. Eastern time, saying, well, Pete Carroll is a really good hire. He's not the guy that's going to win you a championship. He's the guy before that guy, but he's a really good hire, and he's going to build that foundation. So how are you feeling? I think that the Raiders, you know, should be a playoff team, should be contending to be a playoff team in 2026, no doubt about it, knowing Pete Carroll, who he is, and what he brings to the table. But what says you? 702-365-9200. Poncho P, besides the winning season, I'd like to see consistency in play and just overall improvement from week to week. I remember last year's players say they'd waste time at practices, stay focused, and play winning football all season. That comes from Poncho P. You know, it was always funny to me when I heard the, you know, the narrative of they were wasted time at practice. And, of course, we don't get to see all the practice during the regular season, but we saw every practice at training camp. And to me, and this is just me, I didn't see any wasted motions. I saw guys going from field to field, going from drill to drill. Everything was pretty quick. Matter of fact, the practices were pretty quick, where it felt like they were getting them done, getting everything wrapped up. They were going to the side to review film instead of having to go back and look at the film inside the, you know, inside the film room or whatever like that. It seemed like that they were pretty efficient. Now, again, practices, that's a whole nother ball game. Maybe things were different because during the regular season, all we get to see is a stretching period, and then we're out of there. So who knows? But training camp looked like everything was pretty crisp as far as I'm concerned. But thanks so much, Poncho P. I appreciate that. George in the 503. Hey, Q, I expect the Raiders to make the playoffs this year as a wild card team. So he thinks that they're going to have that Denver Bronco type feel where they make the playoffs as a playoff team. I mean, as a wild card team, and that's fine. That's fine, right? I mean, they've got some heavy lifting to do. The only reason I push back on that a little bit is only because of the division. Like, I know it's not impossible at all, but the division is such a dog, right? It's so hard in this division to get where you need to go. Every team is going to really, you know, kind of beat themselves up and eat each other alive. And so the last man standing, maybe it will only take, you know, 9 wins to get to the playoffs because every team beats each other up. That could be a positive. That could be one way to look at it. So thanks so much, George, for that text. We definitely appreciate it. Keep that coming back, that feedback at 702-365-9200. What does a successful Pete Carroll run look like to you? What are your realistic expectations? We've got Jason Horowitz joining us next. We kick off hour number 2 of the show. It's Raider Nation Radio, 920.
And thank you so much for listening to the podcast version of Unnecessary Roughness here on LVSportsNetwork.com, brought to you by Porta Subs.